Jeremiah 27, I want to focus on verse 22. They shall be carried to Babylon, and there shall they be until the day that I visit them, says Yahweh. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place, to Jerusalem. So God was going to visit them and restore or return them. The same words in Jeremiah 29, verse 10. After 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return or be restored to this place. This little word return, shub, in Hebrew, it means to both return and also to repent. So God says, I will visit you and I will cause you to return. I will make you be returned or repentant. The idea, of course, is that they would repent and return to their God, and God would then return them to their land. Well, he caused them to do this, but in fact they didn't repent. There was no reference, really, in the historical accounts to them ever repenting. They were asked to return, given the great opportunity by Cyrus, but most of them turned it down. They preferred the soft life in Babylon or in Persia at the time. And yet God says that he would cause them to return. He would make them repent. As we read in the New Testament, God gives repentance unto life. Not just forgiveness, but actually repentance. But that doesn't mean that everybody's going to repent. God gives repentance, but people choose not to repent. You've got the same words in Zephaniah 2, verse 7, that God had visited and returned the captivity of the remnant of Judah. He did this, and yet most of them did not repent, and most of them did not even return. Later on, he tries to sort of recalculate and reapply the prophecy when he visits his people in the person of his son. When Jesus is born and has his ministry, this is described as God has visited his people. But the idea of God visiting them was that they would return. But they didn't. For the most part, they rejected him, crucified him, did not repent at all. And Cyrus, he was raised up by God. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 23, he said, God has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem. And that's the same word for visit. God has visited me to build him a house in Jerusalem. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. Well, we're told in Jeremiah 27, verse 22, I will bring them up. I will make them go up and restore them to this place. And yet most of them didn't want to go. There is a huge wastage here of huge potential. And so it is really with all that God has done for us. God has come into our lives. God has visited us. You may find that hard to believe if you grew up as a believer, but actually that is no less the radical intervention of God. Because when you look at the fact the majority of people have lived and died on this planet without ever hearing the name of Jesus Christ, you were born into a family that taught you the name of Jesus Christ. How is that for God visiting you? You may have been a Soviet atheist walking down a street and saw a flyer lying on the floor with the footprints on it, and you picked it up thinking, I wonder what that is. And wow, write to such and such place and contact us and we'll give you a Bible or whatever. And through that, you came to the Lord and you think, wow, well, God visited me. God came into my life. And so it is absolutely with us, all of us. We have all been visited. God has come into our lives, but you must return. You must repent. And it is your repentance which is that returning and which is connected with your restoration into God's restored kingdom. Don't forget the kingdom that by grace we will inherit is the restored kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has been around before. It's going to be restored on a far greater level at the return of the Lord Jesus. And we are asked to be a part of that. God has come into our lives. So in your low moments, don't see the cup as half empty, but see it as more than half full, because God has visited you. God has called you. We can't say we weren't called. If I say, oh, I invite you to my place tonight at 6 o'clock for a meal, You can't say, oh, Duncan never invited me to a meal. I invited you. If you don't come, well, you don't come, but I invited you. And when you hear the call, when you hear the invitation, you're called. And so it is with the gospel. We have heard the call to be in God's kingdom. God has visited us in Jesus and in coming into our lives. It's for us to return. And yet, as we read here in Jeremiah 27, that God would bring them up and restore them. It's amplified, Jeremiah 29, verse 10, in causing you to return. He is the causative factor. He is really working to help you return. He wants our repentance. He wants us in his kingdom. And yet it was a love of the old and familiar which kept people from responding. The vast majority, it seems to me, of the exiles did not return. They so loved the old and familiar and the soft life. That's why the end of the book of Esther, in my opinion, is a bit of a sad read, that they were popular, wealthy, accepted in society, in Persia, assimilated into it. And, you know, the call to return, that God came into their life and said, look, come out of all this. Flee Babylon, the prophets say. Flee. Come out of her and go to my restored kingdom, which was then in ruins. But you go there. This is a radical call. And it is the call to ultimate rebellion, to ultimate breaking free. And yet people live in their middle class, lower class or upper class, whatever lives, surrounded by the old and the familiar. And they don't actually want to break. They like the idea of being called to a journey, a calling to freedom, a calling to a new life. Yeah, the idea is attractive enough and is found in a lot of songs and a lot of artistry in various forms, visual arts, novels, movies, lyrics of songs. The ideas are there because they're attractive, but they are attractive only on a surface level. If actually and when actually the call to actualize all that comes through encounter with Jesus Christ and encounter with the message of the kingdom, the power of human conservatism kicks in. That don't disturb me. I'm here where I am. I'll, you know, turn up the temperature till I'm killed by being boiled rather than jumping out. And that is what we're called to do, to jump out and to go with the plan that God has to save us.